Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
It's a simple scripture we're going to talk about this morning, but we will really center down on two parts of it, and in particular one part of it. I'll tell you why after I read it. It's Luke 2:14. It's the angels when they sort of burst from heaven over those shepherds. I think a lot about what that was like to have been a shepherd in that, those guys that were hanging out together, watching their sheep that night, and what it was like to have a multitude of heavenly hosts. What is a multitude of heavenly hosts? Burst from heaven. And I just see the angels, like, were so, in my mind, the angels were so excited that God had come to earth that they just couldn't, that heavens couldn't contain them. They just basically ripped it open, and they all fell out at once. And they were just praising God. It was, and they said this, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So I'm going to really, we're going to look at the word glory, and we're going to look at the word peace today, because glory is a it's almost a ubiquitous terminology, a term used throughout the Bible. And it's used so often, and it's, there's so many shades of meaning in the word glory that you almost forget what is glory. You know, I don't know that it's a word in our common vernacular that we use very often, but I want to look at what glory is. But then I want to look at what peace is, because this is a season that probably, as much as we talk about the warmth, and we talk about celebration, we talk about the birth of the Lord, we talk about our family rituals and church and so on and so forth, that peace is stolen from people. And peace is stolen from people because of modern culture and because of, you know, if you've had some years on you, maybe you've lost people that you really love over the years, and it tends to bring up the memories of your loved ones and so on and so forth who are not around any longer, maybe relationships that are broken and things like that. So your peace is stolen from you. And it's supposed to be like everybody's having a great time. You know, everybody's celebrating and having a good time. And some people, frankly, are faking it. I mean, if we're honest, you know, some people really are struggling to have peace. Are you with me? And I don't want us to be that this year. I think we can escape that trap this year. And we can have peace. You know, we can have peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have joy in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what our circumstances are. You know, it really has to do with Jesus. So, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So glory, the word glory, for glory to God in the highest is the Greek word dikaio, or it actually means to seem. It primarily signifies an opinion, estimate, and therefore honor resulting from a good opinion. It is used in this case of the nature and the acts of God in self-manifestation. Glory to God in the highest means God's self-manifestation is bringing glory upon this planet that was so devoid of the presence of God for so long since the fall of Adam. Glory to God. God has returned to earth. God in person has returned to planet earth. And that is an amazing thing, that the multitude of heavenly hosts pour out of heaven, say glory to God in the highest. They're the greatest of blessings upon this earth, this moment, at this time. Because unto you is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
right? In this case, self-manifestation of God, what he essentially is and does as exhibited in whatever way he reveals himself in these respects, and in particular in the person of Christ, in whom essentially his glory has ever shone forth and ever will do. If Jesus doesn't come across as mysterious to you, if you can read through the Bible and you don't really think that there's anything sort of that's hard to understand about the Bible, you're not reading the Bible. You don't have eyes to see or ears to hear. John 17:5 says, "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was." There's that word glory again. Glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Right? The glory, the manifestation of God. When we say glory to God, you're seeing him. You're getting a glimpse of him. It means something to you. You see the glory of God. And that means that the circumstances of your life take a second position to the fact that you can walk in the glory of God regardless of your outward circumstances. So, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Restore that relationship that we once walked in before the creation of the world. When we walk, I walked in your glory. We walked in the fullness of the Trinity's glory. Because the Bible says Jesus made himself a little lower than the angels for our sake. He came down and made himself in the form of human flesh. Right? But he's saying, Father, give me back my spot. Glorify me together with yourself. Because now you've got somebody who's 100% human and 100% God standing between heaven and earth on our behalf, on the Father's behalf. You've got a portal now to access God's throne room. Okay? So Hebrews 1:1, I'll read that. God, who at various times in various ways spoken times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, who he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he has made the world, who being in the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus Christ has inherited all things. Jesus Christ is the boss of everything. The Lord Jesus Christ is the boss of everything. And if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, there's no devil in hell who can touch you. There's no devil in hell who can touch you. And the glory of God is your birthright. Of Jesus, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So as you read Jesus, you read your New Testament, your Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You read your Gospel. You're reading something that's so much higher than anything on this earth. Sometimes we read it as we're reading a little golden book. Run, run, Jane, run. Run, Dick, run. You know, not realizing that the one who's speaking, the one who's acting, the one who we're reading is literally the express image of the invisible God who created everything. That book is good. It's good for you. So that's glory. We want the glory of God. The glory of God is peaceable. The glory of God is something that will move people when you connect with them. Okay, so the word peace in that, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Peace toward men. The Greek word is pronounced something like eirene, but I can't do it because I pushed a little button with a little speaker on it, and the guy said it with like this very cool accent, so forget about it. But it's something like eirene, but it means peace in a number of different ways. Number one is a state of national tranquility, exempt from the kind of rage and havoc of war, things that look toward peace, such as an armistice, conditions for the restoration of peace, peace between individuals, peace. What a glorious thing when people are at peace with each other, when there's not some kind of anger or rage inside of people toward one another. Number two, where harmony prevails. Peace is a place where harmony prevails. It's in a peaceful mind. You know, and that's the place where there's the least amount of peace. And we can even sit here together on a Sunday morning and not be throwing rocks at each other across the aisle or something, you know. But that doesn't mean we're at peace. And I will tell you something, you can never be at peace with another human being unless you have peace in your own mind. And you can never really have peace in your own mind until you settle the issue between you and Jesus. When you settle the issue between you and Jesus and you really recognize who he is and what he is, then you can have really a sense of peace in your own mind. Once you have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, it's very easy to have peace with other people because you're not just tormented by the foolishness of other people or what you perceive to be the foolishness of other people. You know, everything from road rage to, you know, people's idiosyncrasies and, you know, all of that. We have very much a tendency to judge ourselves much easier than we judge those around us. Peace is a way leading to peace, a course of life promoting harmony. And if you'll find that the great heroes of our faith were people who promoted harmony, you know, who worked toward harmony, who worked with children, the Mother Teresa's, the people like that, who cut themselves off from society's expectations and did things that were different than other people. Not according to the expectations of other people, but according to what their heart was burning inside to do because of their relationship with God. Okay, peace is, there are scripture references for all of these, but I can only do so much in about 3 minutes. Peace in a mild and friendly spirit. It's not hard. That's not hard. A mild and friendly spirit is not hard. You know, grouchiness, it takes so much out of you. You might as well drink a vial of poison. You know what I mean? You're a mean one. Mr. Grinch. Stink, stank, stunk. Peace is security and safety and prosperity, felicity, because peace and harmony make and keep things safe and prosperous. There's a prosperity of soul. 3 John, verse 1. My beloved Gaius, I pray that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. He's basically saying, I don't care if you prosper and be in health if your soul doesn't prosper. Because if you're mean and grouchy and ugly and selfish and stingy, but you're prosperous and in health, you still are all those things. And that means you're a poor man inside. You're ugly in there. Right? Okay. Peace, his goods are secure. Your goods are secure from a hostile attack when you're at peace. So that means you know that you have security in eternity above. You have security. So no matter what happens to you on earth, you're secure in your eternal destination. Peace, a formula for wishing well, blessing, addressed by the Hebrews in departing friends. Shalom. Peace. Right? I wish you peace. I wish you peace. I don't want to see you go through trials and struggle and pain and heartache, right? I don't want to see you go through that. When you go through that, I'm going to pray for you. I wish you shalom, peace. I just want to read 2 Timothy 3 and then make some just quick insight. It just says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. So I think that alliterates the peace robbers, the peace stealers. 2 Timothy 3, read it on your own. I think it alliterates what steals your peace. Those are the things that steal your peace. And let me just go over them quickly because I love you so very, very much. So you can have a really good Christmas and you'll know what to avoid. Amen? All right, so these are your peace stealers. First of all, love of self is a peace stealer. You know, if you're an over-lover of self, they call you narcissistic, right? Because all you're doing is thinking about yourself. You're talking about yourself, you're thinking about yourself, you're trying to plan your life around your own comforts and your own self-accomplishments and things like that. In the worst state of narcissism, you become a sociopath. Sociopath is somebody who just doesn't have a conscience in them anymore. And they're just going to run you over no matter what, and they have no sort of sense of what's really right and wrong, that they can feel inside of them, I've done something really wrong here. That's a sociopath, okay? Selfish, then, and on a simple term, it's somebody who's selfish, a lover of self. In the Bible, we see the Shunammite woman who cared for the prophet. She said to her husband, hey, listen, husband, we got to build a room here because the prophet comes through town. He's got no place to stay. She gave of her own means for no reason, not to get a payoff, not to get something in return, but she built a house. She built a room in her house for the prophet that whenever he came into the house, and then she took the prophet and she said to him, listen to me. You have to stay with me when you come into this town. Because she knew the nature of her community was not good and was not kind toward him. But she knew that she could take care of the prophet. So she fed him. She put a table. She put a chair. She put a bed. She put a lamp in his own room. And nobody else stayed in that room but the prophet. That's somebody who's not selfish, who's thinking of others. Good Samaritan, right? It's another guy, who's not even the same religion, not even the same culture, not even the same background. And all the high and mighty holy rollers walk past the guy, right, and crossed on the other side of the road. The Good Samaritan stopped and helped him. Gave of his own money, right, took him to the inn and said, I'm going to pay whatever it takes. I'm going to give you money. He bound his wounds. He anointed him with oil. And took him to the inn and said, take care of him. And when I come back, I will pay you whatever I owe you. That means whenever you take care of one of God's children, when Jesus comes back, he's going to pay you what he owes you. Lovers of self, not so good. Peace stealer. Lover of money. We have in our society successfully turned the love of money into a virtue. Bible warns against it. Warns against it. It says in the end times, perilous times will come because men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. We've turned love of money into a virtue. We go to conferences where we can learn how to make more money because money, love of money is a virtue. Not good. I'm not saying prosperity. I pray that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. As your soul prospers, I want God to give you more empowerment, financial empowerment, that you can do good. Right? Yes. Boasters. Next peace stealer is one who is a boaster. If nothing that you did not receive from God. We have nothing to boast about. If you're the greatest runner in the world, you're the smartest intellectual in the world, you've accomplished great things, you've built great things, you've only using what you receive from God. So you have no reason to boast. Yeah? Boasters incessantly will speak of their personal accomplishments and superiority. Next is proud. Bible says God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, there's a kind of a pride that's good. I'm proud of my 41-year-old son today, that he's a mighty man of God. And, you know, I'm proud of a lot of things that are righteous to be proud of. But to be proud of yourself and walk around, you know, inflated with an inflated ego is not good. It's a peace stealer. You know, because you're walking, because inside of you is a little person who really knows he's not all that he says he is. You're a little man in a great big world. You're a little person in a great big world, but God loves you, and because of that, you are highly valuable. A proud person is never sorry for his personal failure. He will always find a way to either blame somebody else or blame circumstances, or go to our next item and blame God. And that's blasphemers. blasphemers are the ones who accuse God for their problems. They're mad at God whenever hardship. Why God? Why me? Why are you doing this to me? And you're like, man, just live your life. Be at peace. Live your life. Hardship comes. Pain comes. When it's time to grieve, grieve. When it's time to cry, cry. When it's time to laugh, laugh. But be at peace in all those circumstances. Disobedient to parents. I love it that that's there. Because, again, we've turned disobedience to parents into a virtue. Right? I mean, how many movies do you see that the kids write and the parents are these horrible, horrible individuals? Right? And the kids write and the kid climbs out the window and runs down the road and he does the right thing. And at the end of the movie, he's the hero and the parents are the fool. We're literally being indoctrinated to be disobedient to parents. Right? But the New Testament actually changes it up a little bit. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So if you've got a parent who's saying, go into the store and steal us some stuff, you don't have to obey them in that. Right? You obey your parents in the Lord. Unthankful. Unthankfulness toward God. Or thankfulness toward God assures peace. If you're thankful in every day, in every way, and simply because you've got everlasting life, but there's a whole lot of other things to be thankful for. Thankfulness should be your main portion. What should be coming from your lips most often is just thankfulness. And not only among church people, when you go home, your inner conversation ought to be of this thankful tone. I'm a thankful person. I'm thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Unholy, pit of evil in your heart that you will not put out. You're going to let it burn, the pit of evil in your heart, and you're going to overflow it because that's just what you want to do. You're going to hang on to it. Their actions. See, you can tell what's in your heart by your actions. You should judge your actions. Don't say, well, I'm good in my heart, because that's not biblical, to be honest with you. Don't say, really, I'm a good person in my heart. I really mean to do that. Okay, unloving, love is the actions from the heart. When you only know you're loving if you're not doing what you're doing so that others can see it. If you do loving things so that others can see it, you're not really doing it because you're really loving. You're doing it for the accolades of people seeing how loving you are. Jesus said, you got your reward. Okay, you got it. You got it. I hope they think a lot of you because you already got your reward. But if you do it when out of the view of others, you do it because that's your nature to do it, and you know your acts of love are out of your passion for Jesus and your love that just exists in your heart. You know what? When I started praying an hour a day, 2 hours a day, the first years especially of my walk, all of a sudden people got a lot nicer. Yeah. You know, where everybody was rotten before. The closer I got to God, the nicer people got. You know? And even when they were rotten to me, they were nice. Oh, they're nice. It's crazy because as you touch Jesus, people become nice. They don't change. It's what changes inside of you. God's love is inside of you. All of a sudden you love people. But you know what? Without prayer, without connecting with the Father, the source, the fountainhead of love, you don't have any of that. You have human love, which is okay, but you don't have that love, that agape love. Jesus said, Peter, do you agape me? Peter said, Lord, you know I phileo you. Do you love me with the love of God, the source, the fountainhead of love? Peter said, you know I love with you with every bit of human love there is to love. You know I love you. So when you touch the fountainhead of love, and you receive from the fountainhead of love, then you have agape for others. Are you with me? Slanderers, that means you exaggerate, make up, gossiping evil against others. Gossipers, oh gosh. How much damage a gossiper does. How much damage a wagging tongue does. People without self-control, people when you say, I couldn't help myself, yes, you could. Next item is brutal. That means you are violent, hateful, without refinement. Brutal is violent and hateful. Some people, they call boxing the beautiful sport because there's an art form to it. There's a refinement to boxing. But a brutal person fights without refinement. There's a hateful, there's a vengeance, there's a ugliness about what's inside of them and what comes out of them. They're brutal. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, which is a main virtue in our culture. If you love God, you're the weirdo. If you love pleasure, you're the normal. And having a form of godliness but denying its power. That you do not believe. That's a person who does not believe in developed holiness. In learned holiness. In developed holiness. You have a form of godliness. You come to church. You can say the prayers. You can sing the songs. You have a form of godliness, but you deny the power that God has to make you holy. I'm saying very important things to you right now. Power to overcome self and sin. I don't have the power. I couldn't do that. I can't do that. I'm not very good at that. Well, have a form of godliness, but you deny the power of God to make you how he wants you to be, to retrain your brain. You become a hypocrite rather than a godly person. Religious hypocrite and a godly person are two different things. You play instead of pray. I made that up. Don't ever deny the power of peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Because you'll maintain proximity to Jesus, you'll always have peace. And all of these horrible, nasty attributes will not be your portion. Your portion will be the portion of godliness and righteousness. Yes? I promise you, the reward of Jesus is far more valuable than any reward that this world can give you.
Hey there, this is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you today for listening to our podcast, On Fire Radio. We pray that this word has ministered to you today, and maybe today God has shown you your need for him in your life. John chapter 8, and in verses 31 and 32, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus makes us free from our sin. If you need to make Jesus first in your life today and be set free, would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I repent for my sins today and ask that you would cleanse me with your blood. I place you first in my life and ask that you would give me the power of the Holy Spirit. I walk forward this day in a new relationship with you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to encourage you to start reading your Bible. You can even download the YouVersion Bible app on your mobile device and start a plan for new believers. Start a prayer life as well and start carving out time in your day to spend time with God. And I want to personally invite you to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We have service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. Powerful worship, dynamic teaching, and an encouraging time of fellowship. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center and is brought to you free online and on the radio each week because of generous donations from listeners like you. You can partner with us in serving God's vision for this area by donating online at our website, www.cmcconline.org. From there, you can also connect with us on all our social media platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Send us a message and let us know how this ministry is impacting your life. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.